Dear devotees, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Haridas Varyas Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 19th chapter, verse 5 onwards. First, I would like to hand over call to Suresham Prabhuji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Suresham Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada Gurudev. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Here is a brief introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Haridas Varyadar, Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Indradumya Swami Maharaj and an international speaker. He is associated with ISKCON for the last 24 years. He has a deep penchant in rendering lectures from various Vaishnavite Vedic texts. He is a public speaker on various topics of Sanatana Dharma through the lens of disciplic succession of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He has delivered his lectures in English, Hindi, Tamil and Malayalam across Dubai, Australia, US and India. He speaks extensively on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Valmiki Ramayana and other Gaudiya literatures. He has a graduation degree in electronics and communications and an MBA from Symbiosis. Hare Krishna Mataji, back to you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Haridas Varyas Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call, Prabhuji. I would like to hand over call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. First and foremost, thank you, Radha Mataji, and also Suresh Sham Prabhu for that warm welcome. It's been quite a time that I've spoken for the Bhakti Sangha Japa group, but it's always a great fortune to be amongst the midst of so many wonderful devotees who are excellent and regular in their chanting exercise. I consider myself very, very fortunate. So it would be very improper of me to not acknowledge the kind-hearted gesture of Her Grace Shyama Gauri Mataji, who kindly invited me for this program to speak today. So I'm very, very much indebted that she has engaged my time to prepare to speak something for the Lord's glories, about Lord's glories amongst most wonderful, beautiful Vaishnavas. Before I start, I would also like to share my appreciation to this wonderful group of volunteers who inaugurated their newsletter some time back. In fact, I was going through the newsletter of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. It was very wonderfully made, and it was so wonderful to see so many activities of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group being brought to so many people across the world. So all glories, all glories, all glories to the volunteers, to the organizers of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. So indeed, it's a very big privilege to be here. Not a star-studded speaker, as you would like to say. I'm just trying to flip the pages of Bhagavatam. So if there are any mistakes, kindly bear with me. With that, we will start with the Mangalacharan, which is the auspicious beginning. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Maha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hari Om Tat Sat Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Maduraksharam Aruhya Kavitam Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharinaha Shunvan Ramakata Nadam Konayanti Param Gatim Vedavede Parepumsi Jate Dasharatatmaje వేద ప్రాచేత దాశీత సాక్షాత్ రామాయణాత్మన. Once again, I welcome all the devotees to this August assembly across the world of great chanters, great practitioners of devotional service for a wonderful, enriching purport translations of Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. So today's is Canto number 5, chapter number 19, and text number 5. So I'll share my screen, and you can then let me know if you can see the screen. So there's a small presentation. Can somebody confirm Prabhuji, that they can see the screen?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can see that.
Okay, perfect. So we'll read the shloka today, and there is a long purport, but we'll read the shloka and the translation. Martya avatara stavahi hamartya shikshanam raksho vadavyeva na kevalam vibho kuto anyata syad ramatta swatmana sita kutani vesana nishvarshaya. Translation. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Hare Krishna. So this is a very wonderful, beautiful verse, and we are seeing this verse as the descriptions of the island of the Jambudvipa, the prayers that's being made. So in the text number 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the sect of land, there is a worship of Lord Ramchandra, where there are two great personalities, Hanuman and Arishtasena, who constantly hear the glories of Lord Ramchandra, which is being spoken. And then these verses that we are actually reading right now are spoken by none other than Hanuman himself. So when Hanuman is speaking about the verse, it is very befitting to understand why this personality is glorifying the Lord. It is very important for us to understand what is the qualification of Hanuman, which is very difficult to explain in one lecture. But what is the greatest qualification of Shiromani Bhakta of Rama, one of the greatest devotees of Lord Ramchandra in the servantal mood, Lord Rama's greatest servant, none other than Hanuman, is glorifying Lord Ramchandra and speaking these mantras which are included in Srimad Bhagavatam. So today's lecture, first we will speak about the speaker of these mantras. Generally, whoever speaks about the mantras, we generally explain the meaning. But before we explain the meaning of the mantras or the shlokas, it is very important that we understand who is speaking it and what is their qualification. And today we have a very, very wonderful moment where these shlokas are spoken none other than Hanuman, and it is being recorded and presented before us. So we should actually spend some time learning about the speaker of these shlokas. Today's class would be a little interactive because I would like to also invite certain questions and answers, so that because it's a very Sunday morning, I know it's a weekend morning, and on weekends we are generally attached to the bed or the relaxed lifestyle. So my efforts are going to be larger to get you out of that relaxed lifestyle and shake you up a little bit and think about the Lord first thing in the morning, which you all have been chanting and doing so. So without further ado, let us dive into this verse. But before we dive into this verse, let's speak a little words about the great person who is none other than Hanuman. So let us look at some of the shlokas, what speaks about Hanuman. It says, Goshpadi Krita Varisham Masaki Krita Rakshasam Ramayana Mahamala Ratnam Ramayana Mahamala Ratnam Vande Anilala Atmacham. This is a very beautiful shloka which talks about Hanuman. It says, Vande Anila Atmacham. Anila means the Lord of Wind. Atmajam means one who is the son of wind. Who is the son of wind? Who is the Vayu Putra? Anybody? Whom are we speaking about?
Hanumanji.
Hanumanji. Perfect. So Anila Atmajam is another name for Hanuman. He is the Atmaja. He is the heartthrob. He is the son of Vayu. Vande means I pray to him. Why should I pray to him? Goshpadi Krita Varisham. Varisham means a great lake. One who expanded his form into such a gigantic form that the most king of lakes, the biggest of the lakes, which is near the Gandhamadana Parvata and many others, those lakes became so small as if it was the water in a calf's hoof print. Goshpadi means calf's hoof print. So the biggest of the lakes became the smallest of the water in the calf's hoof print. Masaki Krita Rakshasam, and one who is capable of doing what to the Rakshasas? Just making them insignificant, like killing of mosquitoes. Masaki means mosquitoes. Yes, we have Sanskrit words for bugs and mosquitoes as well. So Masaki Krita Rakshasam, one who can just kill the Rakshasas with effortlessly. Ramayana Mahamala Ratnam, and one who is the jewel in the beautiful garland of Ramayana, and one who is the son of the wind god. I pay my obeisances unto him. It's very important that before we speak about the verses that is spoken by them, we glorify the author. That is why we're going to speak a little bit about Ramayana, and that is why in the start, in the Mangalacharan, I also spoke about Valmiki. Valmiki Muni Simhasya, he is the greatest sage amongst the sages. Simhasya is the lion amongst the sages. So it's very pertinent that we speak about Hanuman. So what's the meaning? I pray to him who is born to the god of wind, who made the king of lakes look like the hoof of a cow. Water in the hoof of a cow, who made great Rakshasas look like simple mosquitoes, who is a great jewel in the great garland of the story of Rama. What's the story of Rama? None other than Ramayana. Then, One more verse glorifying him. Anjana Nandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshamantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram. Anjana Nandanam. Have anyone heard this word called as Anjana? Can anybody tell me what is the significance in our scriptures for this name Anjana?
That is Hanuman, Prabhuji.
Hanuman is Anjana.
Hanuman's mother.
Okay. And is there any other meaning of Anjana? I expect Mataji to speak in this. They should get that.
It comes right, Prabhu. Brahma Sari. Prema Anjana Churita Bhakti.
Ah, so what is Anjana?
Kajal.
Ah, very nice. I expected a Mataji to answer, but Suresh Prabhu, very nice observation. Anjana, right? It's very, very, is the Kajal. It's the eye ointment. Or you call it as the eye mascara. Nowadays, you have so many different things which I even don't know about. But it's the eye ointment, right?
So Anjana is also. One place also, Anjanaka, where Krishna put Anjan to Radharani.
Yeah, very nice. In Vrindavan. Thank you so much, Mataji. Yes, there is Anjanaka, which is a village, which comes in the Chaurasi Braj course, which also is where Krishna applied the eye ointment, the kajal. And it is generally said that if you go to Braj, and because you spoke about it, if you apply that ointment on your eye, then you can see very far. And the Brajwasi says, so Radharani can see from where you are, where Krishna is. It increases the power because it's a herbal medicine. Can't speak about the ones that you get over the counter nowadays, but definitely the one that Krishna applied to Srimati Radharani, it increases the love. So Anjana Nandanam Viram. In this case, the name of mother of Hanuman was Anjana. And what do you mean by Nandanam? Nandanandan. What does Nandanam mean? Nandanandan, Yashoda Nandan. So what does Nandan mean? Yes, somebody was saying.
Lord Krishna.
Nandan is Son, correct. Yes, absolutely right. Anjana Nandanam means one who is the son of Anjana. Viram, one who is very valorous. Janaki, who is Janaki? Everybody knows.
Sita Mata.
Sita Mata, Gaumadaki Mataji said very nicely. Thank you so much, Mataji. Janaki. Janaki means Mother Sita. Shokanashanam, one who destroys the sorrow of Sita. Kapisha Maksha Mahantaram. Kapisha. Kapisha means in Sanskrit the monkey. One who is the greatest amongst the monkeys. Aksha Hantaram. So who is Aksha? Anybody knows? Any Ramayana experts who know who is Aksha? He was known as Akshay Kumar. I'm not talking about the Bollywood hero. I'm talking about the personality in Ramayana. Akshay Kumar.
Son of Ravana?
Yes, he was one of the sons of Ravana. He was in the military battle of Ravana's army. Hantaram. And who killed him? Hanuman killed him.
Hanuman.
So that's why he is known as Akshahantaram. Vande Lanka Bhayankaram. One who brought the biggest of terror to Lanka. And how did Hanuman bring terror to Lanka? Anybody? He burnt it. Absolutely right. He burnt it. And how did he burn it? Did he burn it by the fire in his tail? Or did he burn
his
it
tail.
By the
tail?
You know, I find it very difficult to understand that. You know? And this is why I ask a question back. But before that, let's read the meaning. I salute the terror bringer to Lanka, who is valorous son of Anjana, who destroyed the sorrow of Sita, who is the greatest amongst the monkeys who killed Akshay Kumar, who was the son of Ravana. So if he burnt it by the tail, and we hear that all the rooftops of Lanka was caught by fire, can anyone tell me what was the greatest quality of the Lankan cities of Lanka? What was it made of?
Gold.
It was made of gold. And if somebody has to heat gold and gold has to catch fire, how much time you have to put heat under it? Quite a long time, right? It's not like getting fire on top of a thatched roof or a straw or or something made of hay. It's very easy to catch fire if it is made of hay, thatched roof, leaves. But all the rooftops and all the pillars and all the houses were made of gold. So how much time would have he taken going under each roof and catching it on fire? How has he made it possible? Can anybody put their brains to it? Or have you ever asked such questions? How much time would a gold take to melt and catch fire? 40, 45 minutes? If unless it's put into an urn. Yes, anybody? But is it a question which is worth pondering or is it not? How it would have happened? Because kids would come and ask, how come you are saying this? I learned in my science class that gold takes a lot of heat before it catches fire. The answer is because poetic have poetic licenses. And it says truth because sometimes you need heat, but sometimes you have latent heat, which is not visible. And what is the latent heat here? The latent heat is mentioned in this verse. The real heat by which he actually burnt the Lanka was not the fire on his tail. It was from the sorrow of Mother Sita being away from Lord Ramchandra. So that is the real reason. The heat, we say the heat of separation. In the heat of the moment, we say like that, right? So the real heat was brought by Mother Sita. He just carried it. He just ensured that that heat is dovetailed into the cities of Lanka. So he is one of the greatest conduits. And he is explaining to us in today's Srimad Bhagavatam Shloka, the beautiful shloka where he is mentioning about all of this.
Okay, I was thinking maybe the heat of his anger.
the heat of his anger. Partly, yes, because the devotee is getting into trouble. So heat of anger is correct. But mostly it is the heat of Mother Sita. There is another beautiful mention by one of the Alwars in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya when they say that Kamsa once upon a time he got up from his bed. And when he got up from his bed and he was sitting, he was getting a lot of heat in his stomach. And somebody asked him, Kamsa, what happened? What did you eat yesterday? Was it, two gulab jamuns, three gulab jamuns? Did you have acidity? Did you have chest burn? He said, I don't know. I eat the best of the foodstuffs that they offer. But why is this heat coming into my stomach and I'm feeling so much of acidity? And the Alwars mentioned, it is actually the trick of the Lord. All the gopis were getting turned in their stomach, thinking, what will Krishna be doing in Vrindavan? Oh my God, what will he be eating? How will he be managing himself? Will some demons attack him? So all the gopis, they were turning in their stomach. They were thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? They were having butterflies in their stomach. And due to that constant thinking, they were generating a lot of heat. The Lord never wants their devotees to be in trouble. So what Krishna did, he accumulated all the heat and said, let me send it as a courier to our Kamsa. And he sent all that heat in the stomach of the gopis to Kamsa. This is what the Alwars say. A very nice verse in their Alwar Prabandhams. Very beautiful way of saying the Lord protects his devotees. So there is heat, there is latent heat as well. What else do we say about Hanuman? Manochavam Marututulya Vegam Chitendriyam Budhivadam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuda Mukyam Sri Ramadutam Sirsanamami. A very wonderful verse where I bow my head, I pay my obeisances and salute the emissary of Rama who has won over his mind. Manochavam Marututulya Vegam. One of the greatest qualities of a devotee is to win over the mind, and he has done that. And who has similar speed as wind, because he is son of wind, he is son of Vayu. And who has mastery over his organs, and who is greatest amongst the knowledgeable, who is the son of God of wind, and who is the chief in the army of monkeys. Now you might be wondering, are we speaking Ramayana here or are we speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? But what can we do when the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam and the speaker of the shlokas is none other than Hanuman? So we have got to really, really speak about him. One another verse and two more verses glorifying him. Ulangasya sindho shalilam cha shokavahinim janakatmajaya adhayatena iva dhandal lankam namamittam pranjali ranjaneya. This is the sloka that I mentioned, that I salute that son of Anjana with folded hands who crossed the ocean very playfully. In fact, he didn't cross with a lot of vigor. He crossed over it very, very playfully. And who took away the fire-like sorrow of Sita. Now you see the fire, the heat of sorrow of Sita. With that, he burnt the city of Lanka. So if somebody's looking for that verse, this is that verse. Ulangasya sindho shalilam cha shokavahinim janakatmajaya adayathena vayyadanda alankam namami tam pranjali ranjaneyam. These are all part of the Hanuman stutis that from time immemorial it is available in the Puranas. But for the devotees, while these speaks about his skills, his killing, his actions, it's important for us to understand what is his quality as a devotee and what qualifies him to speak about the glories of the Lord. So it's definitely important for us to know this verse and the verse above. Anjaneya madipatalanam kanchanadri kamaniya vigraham parijata tarumulavasinam bhavayami bhavamanandanam. While we understand he goes around in a killing spree of the rakshasas, makes them look like mosquitoes and kills them, it's also important to know where he resides. What does he do? How does he look? So this verse talks about all of that. I bow down before the darling son of the god of wind, who is the son of Anjana, who is greatest amongst the killer of rakshasas, who is just like a golden mountain, who is very handsome to look at, and who lives near the roots of the Parijata tree. And there we know he's a devotee. He lives under the Parijata tree, offers the flowers to Lord Ramchandra, constantly sings about him. And what to speak about his singing? And I wanted to include this verse today here because the whole mantras that he's speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam from text number 3, 4, 5 onwards is all he's singing. And how does he sing? Yatra yatra ragunada kirtanam tatra tatra kridamasta kanchalim bhashpavari paripurna lochanam marutim namata rakshasantakam. I bow down in my obeisances to the son of wind god, who brought to the end of the rakshasas, the demons, who is always present with the eye full of tears. My dear devotees, this is the benchmark of actually reciting shlokas. How should you recite shlokas? You should have tears in your eye. When you have tears in your eye, not by poking your eye and getting some tears, when you have real tears, you feel that separation from the Lord, when you feel that gratitude of the Lord, and Hanuman sings with that much amount of devotion towards the Lord, who is always present with eye full of tears. Can you imagine? The upper part of the shloka speaks about such a masculine, such a machismo of a personality, who is golden like a mountain, who is beefed up and buffed up like anything, who can bash the rakshasas into pieces. But he has tears in his eyes while he recites, and his head is completely bowed down in veneration, and when he sings Lord Rama's glories. This is the qualification for somebody to even speak about the Lord. So I thought it was very important, 15 minutes into the lecture, just to speak about who is addressing us these shlokas. And it is none other than Hanuman. And how does he know so much about Lord Ramchandra? Because the verse says, why else would Ramchandra show these tribulations when he lost Mother Sita? So if somebody has to speak about such intimate moments, then somebody should have very close proximity of the Lord. Somebody should be very close to the Lord. Somebody should be watching his every move, the Lord's every move, and should be there with him, seeing every single thing, just like Kaviraj Goswami, who had written down everything what Lord Chaitanya did. So like that, like Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, right? Like Saswarup Das Goswami, who wrote everything about Srila Prabhupada. So somebody needs to have that close proximity to really speak about and to really talk about the Lord. And that is none other than Hanuman. But today, because we are not going to go talk all about Tattva, there is a lot of Katha also, and there are a lot of questions as well. We're going to speak about that beautiful moment, how this proximity developed, how Hanuman came really close to Lord Ramchandra. Would you like to hear, my dear devotees, that moment when Lord Ramchandra met Hanuman and what transpired, what were spoken between them? Of course, you would have heard them so much, but I would like to see the enthusiasm of devotees if they would like to hear the moment when Hanuman met Lord Ramchandra and what they spoke.
Yes.
Okay. That's one yes.
Yes, Prabhuji. Sure.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes,
Aribol, Jay. That's good. So let us just jump into that topic while we are all becoming enthused Vanaras to know about what the greatest of the Vanaras spoke. So you see a very beautiful picture, which is on the right side, on the left side, sorry, where you see Lord Rama, and who is along with him?
Sabarimata.
Sabarimata, okay. Who is along with him?
Lakshmanji and Sabarimata.
Lakshmanji and Sabarimata. So look carefully. Do you see Mother Sabari there?
Hanuman, Prabhu.
Hanuman is sitting there. Yeah, if you see, Mother Sabarimata doesn't have so much of fur and hair on her hand. It is actually Hanuman sitting like Sabarimata. So that means that he is disguised himself as something. So this is what happened. So when Sugriva saw that these two gentlemen with robes on them and matted hair and great arms and having quivers and arrows, they were walking in the forest, he thought that they were sent by Vali, his elder brother. Hence, he wanted to send Hanuman to find out who are these guys? Who are these Kshatriyas who look very formidable in their appearance? Who look very valorous in their appearance? Who are these people? Are they spies from Vali? They wanted to understand. So Sugriva sent whom? Hanuman. I request other devotees to mute themselves. So they sent Hanuman. And Hanuman, he thought that if I go like this before Rama and Lakshmana, maybe they will not speak to me. So he spent literally many hours decorating himself. He took a rubber band, took his tail, tucked it in so nobody knows that he's a Vanara. In Sanskrit, generally it is said Vanaraha. Generally it means a monkey. But some scholars say Vanaraha. Va is used as a salutation. Just like you say, Hey Raghavaha. Raghavaha means Lord Rama. Hey Raghavaha means O Raghava. So similarly, Va Naraha means that monkey who can exactly speak like a human. Imagine, my dear devotees, I hope you have all gone to a zoo at some point of time. And you go to a zoo, and you see a place where they keep monkeys and orangutans, and you knock on the window, the glass door, and an orangutan comes there and says, Om Sahasraridisha Purushaha Sahasrakshat Sahasrapat. You will say, oh my God, wait a second. And suppose the monkey says, Om Agyaratya Mirandasya Yaranjana Shalakaya. Suddenly we look around ourselves. We should be the one inside the cage, and that gentleman should be outside. Isn't it? Because we don't expect monkeys to speak perfect Vedic Shastras. We expect monkeys to jump from one tree to another, looking into the wonderful fruits that are available. But what did Hanuman do? He dressed himself like a Pandita, a great Brahmana, one who is very knowledgeable. And here in this photo, you can see he has come before Rama and Lakshmana, and he started to speak before him. And he speaks a lot of things. Where are you coming from? You look like very sun and moon who is walking down this green forest. I'm very intrigued to look at your faces. Rama and Lakshmana are just listening. They're not speaking a word. They're just smiling. Because they're just wondering, who is this personality who has just jumped before them, looks like a pandita, and is speaking so nicely. Minutes before, there was nobody whom we could see in the long, long, long period of time that we were walking. And suddenly here is a person speaking so wonderful shastras. And today, my dear devotees, I'm going to speak about one verse that Hanuman spoke. In fact, I'll speak many verses, sorry to say. But this is Valmiki Ramayana from from Kishkindha Kanda. And in that, this is Sarga number 3, which is also called chapter number 3, and text number 14. Ayata cha suvritta cha bahavah parigopamaha sarva bhushana bhushaha kimartam na vibhushita. Hanuman is speaking, looking at the both transcendental lordships, Rama and Lakshmana. Hanuman also does not know who they are, but he has an inkling in the heart. They are somebody divine whom he loves a lot. But he's speaking and trying to find out. He's playing the role of an emissary or a spy of Sugriva. But he doesn't want to reveal his identity. He wants to keep it hidden. And he wants to say, Ayataha Suvrittaha Bahavaha Parigopamaha. If you see, all these are aha, 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 aha. These words are spoken again. Vibhushitaha, Bhushaha. He's speaking this in a very wonderful tone. Of course, I cannot imitate. But these are all plural forms. Generally, in Sanskrit, if you have two hands, you say Bahavau. But here, Hanuman is not using that word. He is saying Bahavaha. That means there are many hands. Generally, he's saying what he's seeing, he's saying that. So in the photos, my dear devotees, can anybody say, how many hands can Hanuman see? Except Hanuman's hands. How many hands can Hanuman see?
Four, right?
Four, right? And two for each, right?
Yes, bro.
And he is addressing them as Ayataha. You both have come. You have come. So when he's saying you, and he sees for each person only two hands, then how can he use the word Bahavaha? Please remember, Hanuman is Ashta Siddhi Navanidike Datha. He is the expert in grammar. He will never make a mistake. Haridas Varya will make mistake in every single letter. But Hanuman will never make a mistake in grammar. So here, he is saying Bahavaha. That means for each personality, there can be more than two hands. So what is he seeing, my dear devotees? Any ideas? Any speculations? Four-handed form. Now, please remember, have you ever heard a four-handed form of the Lord of Ramachandra being exhibited in the whole of Ramayana?
No.
Isn't that rare? It's the rarest of the rare. There are only rare moments when the Lord suddenly exhibits their four-handed form. And this is the quiz, my dear devotees, to test your Krishna book knowledge. What are the occasions when the Lord has suddenly exhibited his four-handed form? He was two-handed, but suddenly he exhibited his four-handed. Anything from the Krishna book?
When he was born. When he
very nice, very nice, very wonderful. When he appeared, he showed to mother Devaki his four-handed form. Okay, very nice. Any other?
To go. When Krishna was in the forest, he showed to the gopis, the forest, to the four-handed form.
Absolutely, Mataji. Very nice. He showed to the gopis and gopis rejected it, you know. Nakalu Gopika. And that whole song goes on. Okay, there he is. Any other place?
To Arjuna. The battlefield.
Arjuna, absolutely, yes. He showed his 400 form. Excellent. That's why I said Bhakti Sangha Japar Roop so difficult. Everybody knows the answer. But I'm looking for one more moment. One more moment. It's there in the Krishna book. Paundrika Vasudev, yes, but in Krishna book, one more to one of his very closest associates. Have you all heard that chapter where Rukmini and Krishna speak to each other?
Yes.
And when Rukmini is almost about to fall, Krishna immediately brings his other two hands and holds her. Very, very sweet pastime. Sometimes when we read, we forget that, but then it's a very, very rare occasion when the Lord brings out his four-handed form. And here, we see that one of those rarest activities done by Rama, because Rama is very, very idealistic. He will not marry until his father says him to marry. Imagine if it was Krishna. Krishna will say, Dad, this is a new wife that I brought. I went to that kingdom. I won over Shamitaka jewel and I bought Jambavati. But Rama is not like that. He will wait till his father tells, okay, now you are ready to get married. Are you ready to get married? Whatever you say, father. So for the Lord, who is idealistic and who says, Dasharathasya putraha iti ramaha, I am actually the son of Dasharatha. I am just like a human. He wanted to prove like that. And for him to show his four-handed form, it is very, very rare. So ayataha cha suvritta cha vahavaha parighopamaha. So here, there are multiple meanings to this sloka. In fact, we can take the whole year explaining this sloka. The Vyakarana Panditas love the shloka. What does it say? It says, Ayataha, also lengthy are your hands and spherical are your shoulders, similar to clubs. Suvrataha. Suvrataha means spherical. Your shoulders are very spherical. They are worthy of decoration, but I don't see any decoration. I don't see any ornament. What is the reason of being such undecorated form that you are showing before me? Asks Hanuman. What a wonderful way to, seems like, oh, he's just addressing their decorations. But this is the beauty of scriptures. You can read them. You can read them again. You can read the inner meaning of them. You can read the past references of them. And then you can read between them what is trying to be spoken. So today we will unfurl this first beautiful verse, which is spoken by Hanuman, and just to explain what is the proximity of the Lord as well, and through that trying to explain today's verse. Also, lengthy are your hands. What does Hanuman wants to say? Hanuman is seeing lengthy are your hands. Generally, you have two hands. Today, you have four hands. But some our acharyas commentate that these four hands, how can he see these four hands? He's saying Lakshmana is anyway the right hand of Lord Ramchandra, isn't it? Wherever there is Lord Ramchandra, Lakshmana is there. So one right hand of Lakshmana is right hand of Lord Ramchandra is none other than Lakshmana. So how many hands are left now? Three. So Hanuman could see 300 form of Lord Ramchandra, and the right hand is anyway Lakshmana. So Bahavaha, he's seeing 400 form. Another one says, no, he could see 400 form of Lord Ramchandra directly, and they were extending to meet Hanuman. And because they were extending to meet Hanuman, Hanuman is saying, you are having long, lengthy arms, because your long, lengthy arms are favorable to devotees, because you take them in your hands. And your long, lengthy arms are described in the Vedas. And through the Vedas, which are the limbs to understand the scriptures, you can be achieved. So by him saying the word ayataha, chasvuttaha bahavaha, just the word bahavaha have so many meanings. We cannot just read them as, oh, you have long hands. Oh, okay, let's go to the next sloka. No, Rama is sitting and hearing all these and understanding all these. And then he says, Suvrata, that means you have round shoulders. How are those round shoulders? They are round shoulders like the clubs. You know, these Indian clubs, they are like the barbell dumbbells, which the gym goers use. You know, they use it, using it above their heads, and they do their, you know, all their exercises. By that, your shoulder blades become rounded in nature. It's very attractive. And Hanuman is already having a gym body, like a six-pack, and he's attributing seeing at Lord Ramchandra. I said, oh, you're worked out. You're quite well. You have well-endowed shoulders. But that's not what he's saying. He's just not speaking about the beauty of the Lord. He's saying, on your shoulders, my dear, you are supposed to hold Mother Lakshmi. And when you came as Varaha, you took on your shoulders and on your snout, Bhuma Devi. So how come? How come the real ornament of yours, which is your spouse, she's not there with you right now? This is what Hanuman is saying to Lord Ramchandra. How come those shoulders on which you had kept your spouse? How come those arms which welcomed Mother Sita? How come those wonderful arms which used to always keep your lovely wife with you? How come I don't see them? Why are they undecorated? This is the beauty of a devotee and the Lord's worship. This is the beauty of how a devotee sees it in all respects. And because he is a spy, he is also saying, I do see your other two arms. And those two arms need to be really used for the other two purposes that you come for, which is one, what are the two purposes the Lord comes for? Bhagavad Gita, ABCDs, what are the two purposes that the Lord comes for?
To protect the devotees and annihilate
absolutely.
The demons.
To protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. So he spoke about protecting the devotees, protecting Mother Earth. Now he has to speak about the annihilating the demons. He's saying, why don't you use those two arms and decorate yourself and kill the enemy of Sugriva, Vali? What a perfect spy. This is how espionage should be. This is how the beautiful way of talking should be. And this is what Hanuman says. And when Hanuman says like this, what is the response from Ramachandra? Silence. Absolute pin drop silence. What's the response from Lakshmana? Pin drop silence. Nobody speaks a word. Imagine, he's speaking so much, talking so much. That's why he's going on talking. And there is absolute silence. Because Rama is still thinking, is he a demon? Because I've seen so many demons jump out of the forest and having different kind of appearances. Shurpanaka was one. Maricha was another. Kadamba was another. So we see so many demons coming into such forum. So I really do not know whether he is a demon. So he's not even speaking a word. And when these words are not being spoken, what is happening? Hanuman is getting jittery. Hanuman is feeling, oh, what do I do? What do I do? They are not speaking anything. So he spills the beans. Because a monkey cannot be always very sharp and intelligent. You show one banana, it will show its monkey culture. So Hanuman has to spill his beans. So what does he say? Yuvabhyam sahi dharmatma sugrivas sakhyam icchati tasya mam sachivam vittam vanaram pavanatmajam viksharupa pratichannam Sugriva Priya Karanat Rishyamukat Iha Praptam Kamagam Kamacharinam.
He says, you know, okay, you guys are not speaking. You know what happens? I am, you know, that righteous person, king called Sugriva. He is desiring actually friendship with you too. Because he spoke in a very espionage way, nobody spoke a word. He tried to mince his words, nobody spoke a word. Rama and Lakshmana are just smiling to each other. Now he has revealed the truth. He has become a blabbermouth and he has revealed the truth. That Sugriva is desiring friendship with you too. And know me as a monkey. Just imagine the plight. 3 hours he took to disguise himself, put a rubber band to his tail, tuck everything so that his hair is not seen. He has put a perfect fancy dress to himself and appeared before the Lord Ramchandra. And he says, actually, I'm a monkey. I'm actually a monkey. He has revealed it. This is like some of your children, you know, the mother, you know, if you have seen children playing a fancy dress, the mother will treat the child and
and the theme will be given by the school that today is a fancy dress for animals. And she will decorate the child like a tiger, and she will tell the child, you know, beta, when you go to the stage, roar like a tiger. I said, okay. And we're all dressed up like a tiger, having a whisker, goes to the stage and says, Mama, I don't know what to say. And what happens? They were supposed to roar like a tiger, but the inner form is of a baby. And that comes out. And that's similarly, that's what's happening here. Vanara, he's so excited. And he says, actually, I'm a monkey. And I've come here from Mount Rishyamukha in an ascetic form. He's even saying that. Can you imagine that? Saying, actually, I've disguised myself and I've come here before you only to please that Sugriva. And I can wend my way by my will and wear any disguise as I wish. Hanuman said so to the brothers. And when Lord Ramchandra heard this, he expected some reply. But when Hanuman kept on speaking, Sugrivo nama dharmatma kashchit vanara pungavaha veera vinikrito bhavatra jagat bhramati dukkitaha. When I have been talking to you this way, why don't you two brothers speak up? One is named Sugriva, somebody virtuous, who is worthy among the monkeys, is expelled by his evil brother known as Wali, and he's roaming all over the world, heart filled with sorrow. My dear devotees, look at the pun intended. He is trying to see and poke an emotion and to see you are also expelled by Bharata. I'm not forgetting that. I know, I think you are Ramchandra, but you are also expelled by your brother. And you are also roaming now with sorrow because I can see you are undecorated without Mother Sita. So he is trying to bring the friendship quotient. So it's like, I am at fault, you are at fault. So both our faults, let's become friends. This is expert talking. This is called as expert speech. And then he says, Praptaha aham preshitaha tena sugrivena mahatmana rajnya vanavar mukhya nam hanuman nama vanaraha. Finally, he gives out his roll number, his name, his roll call, which has been mentioned in Sugriva's attendance report. He says, delegated by that great soul and the king of the important monkeys, Sugriva, I have come here and my name is Hanuman. Just another vanara. And imagine if you are Rama and Lakshmana, you will be bursting out in laughter. You are here to come as a spy. You are not supposed to give out your name, not flash your ID card. Now this gentleman has spoken everything and has spoken in a very concise way who he is. And what does Lord Ramchandra do? And now Hanuman is expecting Lord Rama to speak. But Lord Rama is Lord Rama. He will not speak. Why would Lord Rama not speak? This is my question to you, my dear devotees. Should Rama speak now or should Rama not speak now? Why would Rama not speak? The answer is he doesn't speak. And why, what is the reason that he doesn't speak? Any answers? Any thoughts? So much a person is speaking, we should reply, right? But he doesn't speak. Why is that? Anybody? Any guesses?
He's still looking at Hanuman and guessing who he is like that.
Possible, partly, okay. Anybody else wants to give a transcendental look into some thoughts of why Rama doesn't speak? Okay, if no one, in the interest of time.
Also, he's absorbing devotion of Hanuman.
Yes, he's relishing the devotion of Hanuman. Yes. But isn't relishment supposed to be completed by speaking back and feeling nice because Krishna is there to protect the devotees? Krishna loves the devotees' interaction. He loves the prayers of the devotees. But Rama doesn't speak because that is Lord Ramchandra. He's idealistic. This is called as the imperial protocol. The imperial protocol says, if you are a diplomat and reaching another country, you only speak to the diplomat. So who is the diplomat here? Lord Ramchandra. Because who is the king? Bharata. And who is being sent as an emissary of Bharata's kingdom? Lord Ramchandra thinks Bharata is the king. So I am the emissary of Ikshvaku Vamsha. And I am coming here representing Ayodhya. So I am the diplomat.
So who is the diplomat of Kishkinda? Who is the person in charge of Kishkinda right now? While this conversation is happening.
Sugriva.
Sugriva. And who is Hanuman? He introduced just himself as whom? As the secretary of Sugriva. So is it a right forum for a diplomat to speak to a secretary of another diplomat? This is imperial protocol, my dear devotees. Lord Ramchandra follows the imperial protocol. So all he does is smiles, acknowledges the gesture, looks at Lakshmana, who is acting as his secretary, and speaks these words to him. Sachivo ayam kapindrasya sugrivasya mahatmanah tameva kankshamanasya mamantikam iha agatah. Tam abhyabhasha saumitre sugrivas sachivam kapim vakyamam madurai vakyai sneham yuktam arindama. He says, Saumitri, with this minister of Sugriva, before that he says, he is the minister. You know, Hanuman is the minister who is a noteworthy soul and the king of monkeys, Lakshmana. Do you see? He mentioned about Sugriva. He is the person whom I alone cherish. Right now, I'm not interested to speak to him. I'm interested to speak to Sugriva because he has praised high of me. But while he praised, did you see some things that he did? And Lakshmana says, what did he do, brother? Can you actually tell me what did he do? He says, Saumitri, oh, the son of Sumitra, this minister of Sugriva is so pleasant-worded one. He has chosen his words perfectly. And he has exchanged pleasantries perfectly. And he is friendly. But not only that, the most important fact is he has spoken in a way that Rama says, Na anna riga veda vinitasya, na yajurveda dharinaha, na asama veda vidushaha, shakyam evam vibhoshitam. He says, nobody in this world, who knows Rig Veda can speak like this. Nobody can have mastery over Yajurveda. And nobody can have scholarly of Samaveda. And nobody can truly speak this way. But this gentleman has spoken this way. Now you might be thinking, why is Lord Ramchandra speaking all of this? Rig Veda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, Yajurveda. Why is he speaking all of this? Because in the Rig Veda, every word that is pronounced has to be of the proper diction. It has to be understood in a proper manner. It has a lot of phonetic variations. And Hanuman utilized his words so perfectly that Rama understood he's a master of Rig Veda. Not only that, in the Yajurveda, every passage can have differential meanings. And by the words that he used, and he mentioned that he's like Lord Varaha, he understood he is a master of Yajurveda. And he sang his words into it. He spoke in a way which was so wonderful that he understood he's a master of Samaveda. Because Samaveda has different tunes. And that tunes have to be mastered. And hence he saw Hanuman could bring into the pot a mixture of all his Vedic learning by the way he is speaking. And none of them had any mistakes of grammar. Nunam vyakaranam krutastanam anena bahuda ashrutam bahu vyaharata anena nakinchit apashabditam. There was not even a single grammatical error. Hence it says that grammar is something that he has learnt completely. And by him, he has not said a single word which is a miss or a verbiage or a verbatim which has gone wrong. One is to speak like this. The other is to understand. If somebody is on the recipient side, understanding, of course, he is the Supreme Lord. He understands everything that is being spoken, what is being intended, what is being said in a sarcastic way, what is being said in a spy way. He is the Supreme Lord himself. And Lord Ramchandra is saying this to Lakshmana. And he says, Arindama, O destructor of the enemies. Oh, the one who is slayer of the enemies. Oh, Lakshmana. And why does he use that word, Arindama? He uses that because he says, now cast off his spell. Now, why don't you speak to him and tell him to cast off his spy image and show his true image?
And one of the beautiful things that I would like to conclude with, two things that I would like to conclude with. Of course, we didn't go into the shlokas. We are still speaking about Hanuman. And I would like to speak about last 30 seconds, taking your time. Lord Ramchandra says, a perfect speaker, a perfect reciter of Vedic hymns, Vedic scriptures, should have these qualities, or should not do these qualities, or do should not exhibit these qualities. What are those? Iti shigri shirakampi tatha likita patakaha anattajat no alpakanta sachat ete pataka adamaha. Adama means wrong things to do. A pataka, a person should not do this. What is it? The first one is undue stretching. What is undue stretching? Today, we will see about, if I speak like this, people will feel sleepy. So this is called undue stretching. This is not how you speak. Or in the interest of time, oh my God, it's already 1 hour, so I should be quickening my pace. So Giti Shigri Shirakampi Tata Tatlikita Pataka, going fast, nobody will understand what is being spoken. Or constantly nodding the head. Okay, so you understood? What did you understand? But constantly nodding the head, the audience will constantly see the head. Reading by seeing written text. Perfect example. The worst of the speakers, Haridas Varyadas, he can only speak after seeing the written text without memorizing. None of the shlokas are memorizable. Classic example, Haridas Varyadas. Unknowing the meaning. If the meaning doesn't appear or the light goes off, oh my, okay, end of lecture, Mahaprasade, Govinde. That has to be done. Weak voiced, speaking within themselves, not speaking out loud, are thus the six sorts of worst reciters of Vedic hymns. And Lord Ramchandra is saying, none of these qualities are seen in Hanuman. And because none of these qualities are seen in Hanuman, what is seen? Unexpanded. He's not expanding. He's not doubtful about his meanings. He's not delaying his sentences. He's non-dissonant of his speech. And he's completely composes his chest or throat in a medium tone. It's not very loud. You know what he speaks. It's not like that. It's very calm, composed, medium tone. That's perfectly modulated for people to understand. And it is that Hanuman, my dear devotees, he's explaining the shloka today, which he says that such is the personality of Godhead. And he did not come here only to kill Ravana. He came here to teach a lesson to all the devotees that one should not be overtly engaged in sex life. He wanted to teach the devotees that one should keep religious principles in the center. And just to exhibit that, he showed some trials and tribulations, and one should not take them for guarantee. One should not look at them and feel, oh, he's just another human being. One should not look at it in that way. So that is the reason. What else could be the reason, he asks. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by kidnapping of Mother Sita? So when he concludes it like this, this is not a conclusion of any other speaker. This is the conclusion of Nyunam Vyakarana Pandita. This is the conclusion of a speaker, Hanuman, who has been glorified by the Lord, who is always chanting the holy names of the Lord, who has got this proximity of seeing the Lord in the four-handed form, who has seen the Lord and served unconditionally unto his lotus feet. Many devotees say, no, we are in Krishna consciousness, we like Krishna's name more, Ramayana, okay. Trust me, we can't say that. There's purity. There's pure, unadulterated love and devotion in Ramayana as well. If we read Ramayana like this, going shloka by shloka, we can spend a lifetime. Of course, our acharyas have spent more talking about Krishna. But we should never say, oh, I'm more attracted to Krishna, I'm more attracted to Rama. No, these are beautiful names. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he has invested all the beautiful qualities, all the transcendental qualities of him, all the transcendental potency into his names. Narsimha, Rama, Krishna, these are very, very potent names. And hence when we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are actually enjoying the beautiful, relishing the beautiful taste of the holy names. So today, I thought this would be a befitting lecture to speak about the person who is chanting these hymns, who is none other than Hanuman in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how is he chanting the names? I would like to just quote and end this class by saying a beautiful song written in a different language, but all languages are there to speak and glorify the Lord. This was a song written by a devotee poet named Purandara Dasa. The story goes that he was so poor, he couldn't afford anything in his house, and his children were hungry. And they came with the plates and they said, "Father, Father, I want some food, I want some prasad." And he looked around, he couldn't get anything, he couldn't feed his children. But he thought, let me teach them about the greatest prasad. And generally, since Bhakti Sangha Japa group, we all listen to the lectures, and we are still in the virtual mode, we don't get prasadam. So I thought that let me take this opportunity to give you all the greatest prasadam which Purandara Dasa is trying to give. And what is he going to give? When his children were begging for food, he just said this beautiful verse: Rama Nama Payasake Krishna Nama Shakare Vitala Nama Tupava Kalashibai Chaparishiro Vitala Nama Tupava Kalashibai Chaparishiro. What did he say? Rama Nama Payasake. I know I cannot feed you anything, but why don't you all of you who are here, bring this sweet payasa, the sweet kheer called as Ramanama. Ramanama payasake. Bring this beautiful milk of the name of Lord Rama. And when you bring this wonderful milk of Lord Rama, what do you do? Krishna Nama Shakare. Add the sugar of Krishna's name. And when you add that sugar of Krishna's name, then what do you do? What is needed in the ghee? The ghee is needed. And that is Vitala Nama Tupava. Add the name of Vitala, which is like the ghee on top of this kheer. And then what do you do? Kalasibai Chappesharo. Just take a scoop and then eat it. And when you eat it, what do you get? What do you get, my dear devotees? Ananda, Ananda Vembo, Tegu Vanda Gayeradu, Ananda Muruti Namma, Purandara Vithala Neyairo. He says, when you actually eat it with the joy and the bliss, and we get two burps, we get full on our stomach. And then we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the blessing of Purandara Dasa. This is the blessing of Vithala. And this is what Bhakti Sangha Japa group is actually bringing forward, bringing the holy names of the Lord, bringing the devotees, speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. And then hence, I thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to speak about it. At any given point of time, if you hear this lecture again, you will get to know the worst communicator, who is none other than Haridas Varidas, who has all those problems that Lord Rama said should not be when one speaks about the Vedic science. So if you found anything nice, those glories go to my spiritual master, never me. And if you found anything good, those glories goes to my spiritual master. And if you found anything false, that comes truly to me. So thank you very much, my dear devotees, for your undivided attention. I wish you a very great Sunday. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Fantastic class and beautiful glorification of Hanumanji. Thank you for sharing the beautiful presentation. And it's very interactive section. Thank you so much for encouraging the Bhakti Sangha team. I would like to request devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
For inviting us during glorification of Hanuman. Prabhuji, why in India we got a culture of building temple for Hanuman? Like, I felt like hearing when Lord Hanuman is a great devotee, I feel offensive, like, say, why that culture of no exclusive Hanuman temples have come up, Prabhuji?
Yeah. So some of them are in ignorance. They don't know that worshipping Hanuman alone does not reap the benefit. In fact, it is to follow them. Some of them who are following Brahmacharya or who are in gyms, they worship Hanuman for his bodily strength. So there are some cultures like that. But yes, you are right. He should be always worshipped with Lord Brahma's Dutta. That's why Srila Prabhupada, wherever he established the deities, and thank you, Vaishali Mataji, for taking us and giving us a darshan of Prabhupada and the deities. Thank you so much. So wherever there was a culture where Srila Prabhupada ensured, like in Juhu, Sitaram Lakshman Bhakta Hanuman, that's the darshan we get. And now in Kargil, in ISKCON, we have seen Sitaram Lakshman Bhakta Hanuman. So that's the culture where the Lord is always with his devotees. Prabhupada never encouraged even worshipping Krishna alone. He said he should be always with a cow, with Srimati Radharani, with some gopis from Gopas, peacock. Never is this alone worship actually encouraged. So, yeah, it's an unfortunate culture, some people understand, but we should educate them. We should take such lectures and we should tell them that this is what Hanuman saw. This is what he identifies himself, so he will not be happy.
Thank you, Prabhu. So one question I might have missed, Prabhu, this one.
Yes.
Why does Hanuman come in disguise, Prabhu, when, you know, he's such a bhakta of Lord Ram?
So two reasons for it. One, he was a secretary for his boss, Sugriva. So Sugriva told him, you go in disguise.
Oh, okay.
Because you are a spy, and spy has to disguise himself. Second, why should he listen to Sugriva? That's a story in itself, because Sugriva is an amsha of Surya. And Surya was the spiritual master of none other than Hanuman. And Hanuman said, okay, give me your IFSC code, give me your SWIFT code, I would like to transfer the Guru Dakshina. So Surya said, no, I'm not going to take you anything. He said, no, give me your bank account, I need to transfer Guru Dakshina. He said, okay, fine, if you want to give some Guru Dakshina, my amsha, the Sugriva, is getting trouble there, why don't you go and serve him? So because as an order from his spiritual master, he accepted the order of Sugriva, who ordered him to be in disguise.
Okay. Prabhuji, one last question. This one, sure. In current day times, we so don't see right Prabhu Vanaras, like in current times, we don't see this Vanara category of...
Yeah, we do not see... Do they exist? Some of them existed in Treta Yuga. We definitely do not know if they exist now. Sometimes you do not see. For example, there's a very wonderful example given. Which part of the world are you from, Suresh Prabhu, right now?
Yeah. Right now in US.
US. What's the weather going on there right now?
Yeah, there isn't. Today is very nice, Prabhu.
Today it is very nice, but is it summer or winter right now?
Yeah, it's in spring, Prabhu.
It's in spring. So generally, you won't see the Christmas dresses like the socks and the winter and the blizzard dresses. You won't see it on the shops, right?
No.
They will only come when the time comes, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So at the time when winter comes, you will see those sweater socks and all of that, jump sweaters and all those things you see at that time. Mm-hmm. So when you don't see them, that doesn't mean that they have gone away from the world. No, they do exist in some other places where there is winter, isn't it?
Mm.
Just like that. Sometimes we don't see such vanaras, but they could be existing because there is this shloka which says, what is that shloka? The shloka which says about the Chiranjeevis. Who are the Chiranjeevis? Anybody knows the Chiranjeevis? Ashwatthama Balirvyaso Hanumansha Vibhishanaha Kripa Parashuramashta Saptaitai Chiranjeevinaha. Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya. Balirvyaso, the king of Bali. Vedavyasa, Hanuman, Vibhishan, Kripacharya and Parashuram, who eliminated the Kshatriyas 21 times. These are the seven Chiranjeevis, immortals. Hence, we revere them. One should say this sloka in the morning. We revere the seven Chiranjeevis. So they are there somewhere. So Hanuman is there. And that's why we read the sloka. Yatra yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam tatra tatra kadamasta kanjalam. Wherever there is Raghunatha Kirtanam, wherever there is the song of Lord Ramchandra, there one person will come and sit. And he will have tears in his eyes. Tatra tatra kadamasta kanjalam bhashpavana varipurna lochanam bhavyamikadriyatam. So he will have tears in his eyes. So if we have the eyes, we can see Hanuman. That's the faith of the Shastra.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. If I missed one thing, you know, if I'm correct, I think you said that in the beginning, Hanuman did not know exactly who was this Lakshman and Rama, isn't it? So what I missed was, how did he, in the course of his talking to them, how did he come to understand who they actually were?
So this is wonderfully said by our great Guru Varga, that when Hanuman was approaching the Lord, he was feeling this warm emotions in his heart. He was feeling that, yes, those who want to leave, they are getting late, please do so. I get enthused by questions. So please, if you have your morning routines, please do so. Thank you for your association. So Hanuman was feeling this warm emotion in the heart. And he was feeling, this is somebody whom I know, but he was not sure. He was playing his role. He was trying to know who it is. And suddenly he saw the 400 form. Bahavaha. He says, Bahavaha. He has 400 form. And when he saw the 400 form, you know, he is the same Narayan. He is the same Lord Vishnu. And then he slowly understood, oh yeah, I have heard about it. This news was quite known. It's not that people did not know. People knew what happened in Ayodhya. People knew that Rama got banished, even in Kishkinda. Similarly, Rama also knew that Sugriva is wandering around. It was quite a well-known fact. News used to get around. Diplomats used to tell them. So Hanuman just could join the dots. He could see that he had 400 form. He had heard about the news about the two princely people. He had heard about their glories. Now he could see them and he understood. And then he slowly revealed. And that's why he revealed. He could know that they are not going to be harmful to us. And he could see that qualities in the Lord. Does that answer the question, Mataji? It was in the process. The conversation at the beginning, he was doubtful. But as the conversation progressed in 10 or 15 shlokas, Lord Ramchandra displayed something and things changed as they ended their conversation. So it was very dynamic. The conversation is dynamic. It's not static.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Lord Ram revealed this four-handed form in Hanuman's heart, would you say? Maybe even externally?
He revealed it externally that only the devotees could see. That is, only Hanuman could see.
Thank you so much for this unique class and insightful class. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Any other questions, comments, feedbacks, mistakes, criticisms?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Laltangi Mataji sent message, Prabhuji. The verses, paintings, glorification of emulating the elite qualities of the pleasant worded servant of Lord Sri Ramachandran. Your class is the real Paisam, Prabhuji, the Prasadam of Lord Guru Appar. Yeah,
all glories to Purandara Dasa who wrote that verses. If I can only add, it is just my foolhardiness to add anything to that shloka. But if I am given that opportunity, I would say that along with that kheer, add the name of the dry fruits called as Gaura, and then drink the paisa. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu adds the real flavors to those things. So while the milk is there of Rama's name, the sugar is there of Krishna, the ghee is there of Vitala, add the dry fruits of Gaura's and Nitai's name, you can drink it.
And that's such a wonderful icing on the cake, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Icing is the dry fruit, Mataji. Gaura's name makes it all well. We are Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. How can we forget Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. And also want to thank you for your wonderful poem on His Holiness Jaipatak Maharaj. That was so very well written from your heart, and it moved us to read that, Prabhuji. That prayer was so intense. Thank you so much.
I just hope to get his blessings. That's all. Thank you, Mother, for your kind words.
Once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here with your permission. If anybody anybody want to say something?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam. Wonderful, wonderful class, Prabhuji. Amazing, you know, you nicely put in the, you know, how everything is done there in Kishkindha, and how, you know, Ms. Hanumanji, how he expressed all his feelings, and you put in that nicely. I did not even realize all these connections. So really amazing class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. And thank you for inviting me to the Bhakti Sangha group. And I hope I can do justice again and again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for beautiful class.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. We look forward your association again and again in the future. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji. గ్రంథ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ జై ప్రభాద్ కీ జై వర్యాస్ ప్రభుజీ కీ జై
జై కృష్ణ థ్యాంక్ యూ ఫర్ సచ్
థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్.